This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN? Oh, what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found — I am not a therapist — I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it, and sometimes it makes you realize, like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to a special edition of the iFanboy podcast, Wanted. Hey, welcome to a special edition of the iFanboy podcast. This iFanboys at the Movies. We're talking about Wanted, the film adaptation of Mark Millar and J.G. Jones's miniseries from a few years ago. And I'm Connor. I'm here with
Ron.
And I'm Josh.
And we're going to be talking about the film with spoilers. We saw it. Everyone saw it. If you didn't see the movie, you don't want to be spoiled, pause the show, come back. But if not, let's roll on. So
quick recap. Wanted was published by Image Comics in 2003. What was it? Six started in 2003, 2004. Six-issue miniseries, right?
Yes. J.G. Jones on art. Mark Millar did the story. Very typical Mark Millar, high concept. This is The Watchmen, but for villains. It's like, what if you found out that your dad was a supervillain, and it goes from there. And then... We did a video show about the comic book, so there's a good 20 minutes of us talking about that comic book. So make sure to check that out if you're not familiar with that book. But we're here talking about the movie.
So the movie was directed. Who was it directed by? Some name.
Tamir Bekmambetov.
Not going to work here.
Tibor.
oh, Papa Homer. So it was directed by that guy, and then it starred James McAvoy as the Wesley character, and Angelina Jolie as the Fox character, and Morgan Freeman as a character named Sloane, who I don't think was in the comic, and. And honestly, I was very excited to see this. And I said it on the video show that I thought this was a good thing for comics. It was a non-super – the comic is a superhero story, but it was not – it was an Image comic that was made into a movie. I mean, Mark Silvestri's name was up as an executive producer. You know, you saw Mark Miller and J.G. Jones' names in there. I thought this was going to be a – I was very excited because I felt as if this was going to be a good moment for comics.
Speaking in past tense.
Yeah. Well, because I saw the movie and
I don't know if you can legally call this an adaptation, by the way.
No, I don't think you can.
It's a title transference.
Well, okay. So, okay. Basically, I'm speculating here. I have no idea. But as far as if you know who Mark Miller is, he's Scottish. If you go back to our episode from Wizard World Chicago last summer, I interviewed him. He's got a very heavy Scottish accent. What I imagine is that the director and the writer sat in a room with him after the deal was done, and they wanted him to tell them the story. And it was like a 4 or 5 hour meeting. And he starts talking, and he's like, "Oh, it's great." And he starts going into Scottish thing. And the writer just goes, "Do you know what he's saying?" And the other guy's like, "No, just write it down. Write it all down." And so they're writing it down. Then he leaves and was like, "What the fuck did he just say? I don't know." And, like, and that's how we got the movie that we saw this weekend.
And they never read the book.
Right,
they were like, Wesley Gibson, that's as far as I got.
They got Wesley Gibson, they got guns. He said something
about Fox.
Yeah, and Fox. And then he said, did he say something about sweaters or looms or thread or something? Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, write that. Fucking – I sat in that movie and I couldn't believe what I saw.
Well, let's back it up. The book is about supervillains who secretly rule the world, and this guy finds out he's a son of a famous supervillain. He becomes a really bad guy. He's a murderer, a rapist, and he becomes a bad supervillain. The movie is about a guy. It's almost the same. The first 2 minutes of the film. We meet this guy. He's a cubicle monkey. His girlfriend's cheating on him with his best friend. He hates his life. He's a nobody. He doesn't find out his father's a supervillain. He finds out his father was an assassin, part of a group of assassins who are making the world a better place, far from the morality as you can get from the book.
But specifically, they're a fraternity of assassins who, by killing people, keep order and balance to the world. But they get their orders to kill people.
Let's get to that. We really have to build to that.
Okay, all right.
I mean, really, because that was the moment.
Yes!
That was the moment in the theater where Connor – and this was one of those experiences. If you've ever been to a movie with me before, you will find that there are things that I start laughing at very hard that nobody else laughs at. Yeah. And in this one instance,
just Connor laughed along with me.
It was – I saw it with a couple of friends of mine here in San Francisco who all read the books, and one might have been affiliated with the book in some capacity. And – when that happened, we just all – it was like, Connor, do you remember when we saw X3 and when Cyclops died, when I leaned over and looked at you?
Yes.
It was one of those moments. It was one of those.
No, Josh and I, our laughter echoing through the theater when no one else was laughing.
Yeah, exactly.
No one else is laughing at this?
Because
I speak, of course, of the loom of fate.
It's a fucking loom that, based off the pattern of the threads, give binary numbers which spell out names of people who are supposed to die. What the fuck is that?
I was like, maybe it doesn't mean anything. Maybe it's just random shit that they're taking information out of that's not really there.
So I go back to my conceit where Mark Miller is going, "Oh, it's great," and he's a Wesley, and he's a cubicle, his life is just shite, and he's got a gun, and how did they get Loom of Fate? Like, how?
Well, listen, here's the thing, and I want to make this clear. I did not love this book. If you watch the show, you'll know that I didn't love this book, or if you've ever heard me talk about it, it's really one of my least favorite books I've ever read. So it doesn't bother me that they didn't follow the movie.
if the movie didn't follow the book.
That's what I mean.
But that said, I thought the opening, the introduction to Wesley, the his life, all the stuff with his girlfriend and work, and then him getting pulled in by Fox and getting introduced to this world, and then the training, I thought was spot on. I thought if you were going to do it in a movie, that aside from the wax bath where they have regenerative powers, where they heal
the Lazarus pit.
Yeah, the Lazarus pit. Aside from that. It was like – I was like, okay, I'm cool. I'm there. You know what I mean? Like that was good. It was the moment that Morgan Freeman showed him the loom of fate that I just said, oh, fuck.
I thought this movie had so many problems beyond the loom of fate that were internal logic problems. Stuff made no sense.
Oh, there were plot holes. There was
a couple of great sequences. I really liked the final action sequence when he takes down the assassin ring. I really thought that was
good. But with the rats –
Well, the rats aside, Piper. I liked the running in.
Yeah, the running in was great, but the bad CG rats was just
right at the beginning, I knew there was a problem before the loom. When they show the guy who's supposed to be his father, who's really not his father, who is killed in the way his father is killed in the book, supposedly.
Yeah.
He runs super fast through a building, jumps through a plate glass window, jumps across an entire avenue, lands, and shoots each other. So I thought, oh, wow, they actually are going with the superhero angle.
Yeah.
But then later on, they reveal that the assassins have heightened adrenaline, which allows them to see and act quicker than everybody else. That doesn't explain how you can run super fast. That doesn't explain how you can jump through a plate glass window and not get cut to ribbons. Yeah. That doesn't explain how you can jump about 600 feet across an avenue and land and shoot people. Yep. None of that is explained by heightened adrenaline. Yep. Heightened adrenaline is not like some sort of cure-all that allows you to see faster and react quicker, yes, perhaps, but not to withstand
wax math.
Well, that's a whole other thing, but like the explanation for their abilities didn't make sense with their abilities themselves.
Yeah.
There was all kinds of like the strings of the plot never made sense. As Josh pointed out in his thing, sequences were lifted whole cloth from other movies.
Yep. Well, the big twist is that he gets – Morgan Freeman pulls him into the fraternity saying that your father was killed and help us get to the guy who killed his father. So he gets to the guy who kills his father, this amazing action sequence with a train and that train derails on a bridge and falls in a chasm, and he shoots the guy who he thinks is his father, and then it's a –
That killed his father.
It's a quiet moment, and then the father just goes, no, I'm your father, and
I know,
dies.
I know. Like, you was waiting for that for like – the whole time, I'm like, just tell him.
I know. I was like, oh.
Like, you could see that coming, and so, like a bus down the street.
So then we find out that Morgan Freeman is actually the villain, because what he's been doing is that all the assassins' names came up in the Loom of Fate. So he started making his own Loom of Fate with other names to keep it all going.
Boy.
Oh, fucking.
Well, as Josh pointed out, the scene with the train where they land on the plate glass and it's breaking while they sit on it, that was lifted right from Jurassic Park 3.
Yep.
Or was it 2? Lost 2. Jurassic Park 2. Lost World, the second
one. But what happens is that Fox, Angelina Jolie, who trained Wesley, and you wonder, are they connecting or somehow? Wesley goes to kill his father, who turns out to be his father. She gets orders to kill Wesley, and Wesley gets away by shooting the glass out and falling down in the chasm and falling into the water. And then we fade to black, and we come back, and he wakes up back in Chicago because Terrence Stamp saved him. that was the biggest plot hole. Like, way to skip this huge – like, they're in the middle of Europe in this chasm and water, and the old dude, the old guy, the old monk guy brings him back to Chicago. How?
General Zod.
Yeah, how?
Well, the thing is, there's that, and there's the – I mean, there was a lot of times where I was like, I've seen this in other movies. I mean, the whole first scene, I hate to bring this up, but, you know, like, it was Office Space. Like, I literally expected to hear Corporate Campe, well, just a moment, like, over and over again. I expected Lumberg to walk up. So, they got that across.
Connor, say it.
Lumberg wasn't so bad when you think about it. I rewatched the movie, and he was a jerk, but, man, he was in there on Saturday when everybody else had to be there.
You're not wrong, but, like – like, so they got that tone by just doing the thing from the other movie.
God, I love that.
Yeah. You know, and there was a lot of lifting. It was piecing together other films.
I thought the best friend was funny. It was good, though. I mean, that was – you just hate it.
Yeah, but that was the O-Face guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like that was one – that was one of the kind of funny things – you know, oh God, I could complain about so many things.
And it was so funny because you know, Morgan Freeman's character is this guy Sloan, and he's the one who runs. He both runs the textile mill as well as the fraternity of assassins.
But we also make sweaters.
Yeah. But that was Connery.
Anyway. The only thing I can say like him is Andy Dufresne. That's it. That's
well, don't get started Morgan Freeman doing Lean on Me, because I'll do it for hours. They used to call me Crazy Joe. Now they can call me Batman. Anyway,
that's all he says for hours.
But so he's this refined, well-dressed. They show him eating with the nice silverware and everything like that. And then at the end of the movie, towards the end of the movie, when Wesley, you know, takes down the fraternity of assassins, and they're in this room, and he tells all the other assassins what Morgan Freeman's done, and he's just like, and Morgan Freeman does his little speech back, "You're all supposed to be dead." He's like, "Shoot that motherfucker." Just like, and it was so out of character. It was just
the crowd went nuts.
Yes, of course.
Like, this is the catchphrase that people are going for. Yep. Shoot this motherfucker. Yep. And people are like, yes, that's the fucking wordplay I've been looking for.
You see, now what's interesting though is that while the movie was awful and it wasn't any, of course it was, we knew it wasn't going to be anything like the comic book, and I agree that it's a bad movie, I think that people will enjoy it.
We are going to get more hate mail about this podcast than anything since X3.
Yep.
Which was more awful, by the way.
I've told many people that it was awful, but that they'll have a good time if they go see it because it's so awful. Now, whether or not I think people will like it because it's got action and it's got guns and curving the bullet and all that crap.
Okay,
but
I'll go through a laundry list of things and we can discuss them, because I don't want to. Listen, here's the thing. I don't even know if it was that awful. It was actually very mediocre, and I hate mediocre even more than awful.
Yeah.
Later on, it became awful, and then it became funny.
Yeah.
So that part was kind of fun.
Yeah.
It had a pretty
only,
good
only
cast.
You and I really, really seemed to find that in the
That's
theater.
True. That's
we had a
true.
Good, we had a good time laughing at the loom.
It had the loom good... of fate!
How did they get Morgan Freeman to say that?
I can't believe it. The shot of all the monks in hoods around the loom, and they're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Are we supposed to be taking this seriously?
Okay, so you got Angelina Jolie, and she's doing the I'll just not say anything and look serious school of acting.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
She learned that from Brad Pitt in Troy, by the way. Yeah.
She needs to gain a little more arms. Weight.
Yeah,
she's a hot chick, but not as much anymore because she's creepy.
That one scene where she showed up for the first time, you're supposed to be like, ooh,
oh,
that's
creepy, yeah.
Everyone in the theater sort of giggled because she looked like death.
Yeah,
not well. Wait, what else? One of the other things that really bugged me, you know the scene where they go back to his girlfriend's apartment, which, by the way, seemed to have happened way too late in the movie for what it should have happened.
Yeah, to get the gun,
And Angelina Jolie kisses him.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing that I have to give the book credit for is that whenever there was a line drawn in the sand, the book said, we're going to cross this line.
Yep.
And in this movie, they didn't even really go with the tone of it because she kissed him. And I was like, how? I mean, in the movie, she would have fucked him on the bed or something in front of the guy. I mean, in the comic book.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have done something offensive, something
she would have blown him or something. Yeah.
Kissing him is what you do in a Molly Ringwald movie.
Yeah.
It's not. It's just like the point of the book was at least, if I can at least respect the idea that they were like, we're going to push all these boundaries.
Yeah.
And this movie didn't push any boundaries. It was the last scene, Connor's correct, the last scene where he's running through the factory and he's shooting people and he's switching out guns and stuff. That was the best part of the movie. That was really inspired. I was hoping for more of that.
Yeah.
But there are other scenes, like when he first arrives in Budapest or wherever they were, and he's running, and it looked like a real dude running who wasn't very athletic.
Yep.
And it was just – I was like, this is just –
Well, I definitely didn't think there was enough of the killing. Like I thought – they showed him do a couple of kills and stuff like that. And I was like, show me more of that. You know, like it was all
– He only pulled off one or two assassinations.
Yeah,
the rest was all him trying to grab something out of a loom.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And so then the big plot hole then being, did those killings – were they real? Did it mean anything?
They just somebody Morgan Freeman didn't like? Yeah.
Was Morgan Freeman just making people up the whole time? There should have been a resolution of that.
Back to the girlfriend though. Fantastic job on the girlfriend. Whew. That was – I know like seven girls like that. When she's like, did you feed Annabelle? I was like, oh my God. So
it's not me this week.
But so at the end of the movie when he takes out Morgan Freeman, did you catch that in the cubicle the name in the cube was JG Miller, was Miller, and then the cube next to him was Steve McNiven?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
see
that one.
Yeah, the cube next to him said Steve McNiven. It was blurry, but I caught it. And then, I mean, we talk about the end of the book being thing. They tried to capture the swagger of the end of the book in the comic at the end of the movie, but even then, I didn't think – I was like, oh, whatever. So.
Well, because he wasn't staying a bad guy.
Right, yeah, exactly.
What's funny is that he put on his dad's jacket at the end, but it looked stupid because it was too big.
Yeah.
So he looked like a little kid in a big jacket, and I was like, really? Oh, come on.
Well, so, oh well.
we thought the train would derail with Hulk. It didn't. It derailed with Wanted, but yep. hopefully
Hellboy and
Hellboy and Dark Knight bring it back. I assume they will. They both look really good.
Yeah.
No way Hellboy will be a bad movie.
Oh, man. No. Oh, God.
No. There's no way that the Batman movie is going to be a bad movie. And if it is bad, it's going to be a spectacular disaster.
Loom of Fate.
It's the Loom of Fate.
That was shocking. It was shocking.
I got to give him credit that is now – that is the new – it's a new thing. It's like, oh, that's the Loom of Fate.
So that's the word for anything that just doesn't – it comes from out of nowhere and doesn't mean anything, but it's the linchpin for the entire story.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh,
Loom of Fate.
Well, I got to give, Miller and J.G. Jones credit. Hopefully they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Oh, absolutely. Good for them. I mean, what are they going to cash in a huge check? Hopefully they have some sort of – point in the back end, and that'll help them out more. But I'm assuming it's gonna be the number one movie this weekend. I assume it will.
Yeah. So. Well, it's either that or what else opens? Oh no, WALL-E opens this weekend, which I saw last night and was fantastic. By the way, although WALL-E was not to get off the topic, but it was almost too cute. It was too adorable at times. Like it hurt. I was like, oh god, can it be any cuter?
You're getting off topic.
I know. Anyway, all right. So make sure to head over to iFanboy.com. Check out the other podcasts, as well as there's a post about Wanted to see all the people who disagree with us.
Here's a good one. By the way, if you do disagree with us, you're absolutely agree. I am not someone who hates fun. I do love fun.
You hate fun.
I don't hate fun because I'm not alone this time.
Yeah. Yes. No, we're all and a normally, rare moment of all of us in agreement.
Okay. But you could write to us if you want. Post on the site.
Yes, yes.
Go there and tell us because we can't respond to everybody and say, no, I really didn't like the movie.
No, yeah, the best place to share your thoughts is go to ifanboy.com and post on the thread. And it'll be the thread for this podcast that's on the right side under the podcast as a special edition Wanted. And just let everyone know what you think there. That's a very good point, Josh. So,
yeah, I can already hear the first voicemail, by the way.
Yeah.
Wanted is the best movie of all time. Who didn't like it? Who want character development.
Alright. So coming up next is Hellboy 2, which is the weekend of, I think, July, like 11th or so, like around there. So we'll be back to
talk. Yeah, that's actually 2 weeks from now. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be back to talk about Hellboy 2. So and
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. So, alright, cool. I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I still don't like anything.
You hate fun.
I do. Doesn't it make you feel better? The pigs have won tonight. They can all sleep soundly, and everything is alright.